got saved. I was thankful I was saved, and I was thankful I was going to heaven, but I didn't have a what you call a deep ingrained love for the Word of God. It's a funny thing about the Word of God. There's lots of things when I was saved I didn't know. When I got saved, I knew I had been convicted. I knew that I had repented. I knew that I had trusted in Jesus. I had asked Him to save me. For the Word of God is quick. Exposition of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. When I was a young man, I didn't even know I had a soul and spirit. All I knew was, this is me. Right here, this is me. I knew I liked to play football. I knew I liked to get out and roughhouse with the kids. I knew I liked to shoot cap pistols. But this was me. Someone had said, do you realize your body, soul, and spirit? I said, what's that? This was me. And when I was convicted of my sins, I didn't sit there thinking, well, you've got a body, you've got a soul, you've got a spirit, and your soul needs to get saved. This was me. Me right here. And me, not knowing I was divided in body, soul, and spirit, knew that I was sinful. Knew he was going to hell. And knew he needed a Savior. Didn't understand how to be saved. Just knew that I was sinful. Knew that I could not possibly do what God wanted, because I kept trying and kept failing. So finally I did what God had given the law for me to do. When His Spirit convicted my heart, and I couldn't stand it anymore, I came to Jesus and trusted in Him, and He saved my soul. But you know, I still didn't know that I was body, soul, and spirit. It was just me. Me. Well, I think one of the reasons that I'm so grateful for the Word of God, and why I've come to appreciate a lot of things my grandfather taught me. He was a real fine missionary Baptist deacon. And he taught me a lot of things, and he kept telling me about how wonderful the Word was. Do you know how I found out about myself? It was just me. And when people were nice to me, I was nice to them. When people loved me and let me have my way, I was nice to them. Me. When I got things that I wanted, when good things happened to me, when people praised me, when people liked me, I was happy. Because this was me. But after I got saved, for the first time I had someone living inside me that could take this book, which he wrote, and get me to understand myself. And to see what I really am. And I learned what I was after I was saved. And I'm still learning. I'm very thankful for the Word of God. It lays you open. It's like a mirror. It lays you open and you get to see yourself the way you are. You know why most people quit coming to church? They get saved. They get scripturally baptized. But they don't like to be laid open in front of themselves. They don't want to see what they are. They don't want to understand what makes them tick. They don't want to be able to separate between their spirit, their soul, and their flesh. And so because the Word of God convicts them, and they say, boy, you really got on my toes. We've got a lot of people in missionary Baptist churches that have smashed toes, practically have no feet left, but they have never let the Word of God change them. I came to understand what I was through this book. I'm not just talking to you. I'm just not using a clever illustration. I'm telling you the way it was, the way it is, and the way it shall be. The Word of God is quick. It makes you alive. It's powerful. It's the only thing that can change a man. And sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it just slices you up into three sections, and you finally get to look at yourself and realize what really makes you tick and how really self-centered, self-serving, and self-purposing you are. Many people can't take it. I had a hard time with it. Still do. In the initial stages, you want to go out and hide in the cave. But if you don't hide in the cave, and you finally begin to look at what you are, it makes you so thankful to God for what He's done for you and what He is going to do for you, even though you see what you're really like. God loves you. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What's the soul and what's the spirit? Well, when me got saved, all of a sudden there was someone else inside me, a new spirit, and he was perfect. And I was still living in the flesh, and he was just as mean and imperfect as he ever was. And there I was, caught in the middle. Then I began to learn about myself from the Word of God, and I began to let the Word of God separate me where I could see what I am. The Word of God is just exactly what God said. It divides you into three sections: body, soul, and spirit. And here's what's important. And there's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Would I have gone over to see Brother Shipley tonight if I wasn't his pastor? Probably not. Would I have gone over to see my mother, even though she's a Methodist? Would I have gone over if she was still alive? Yes. You say, well, what does that tell you? It tells me I'm a hypocrite. It lets me see what I am. It makes me see how politically motivated I am. I tell you, when you're around me and you're around me long enough, what you see is what you get. Do I care what happens to Brother Shipley? Yes. Do I love Brother Shipley? Yes. Do I care for Brother Shipley? Yes. But would I have gone over there if I weren't his pastor? Probably not. Did any of you go? You say, it's your job. Is it? You have to learn to take a good look at yourself and understand why you do the things you do. And there are many things I'm very ashamed of. Do I want to see Brother Shipley recover? Yes, I do. Am I praying for Brother Shipley? Yes, I am. Would I be as concerned about my mother as I was about Brother Shipley? I'd be more concerned about my mother. I'd be more concerned about my wife. You finally learn to be open and honest with yourself, and you quit putting yourself on a guilt trip. Why are you here tonight? God knows why you're here tonight. He's discerning thirsts and intents of the heart. Are you here tonight because you want to please God? And because you want God, His Son living in your heart, to mold and shape you into what He wants you to be by letting Him transform your way of thinking and your way of life and letting you see what you really are? You know, I used to think I was a pretty good servant of God. When God first called me to ministry, I thought, you're a pretty good servant. You go into a seminary, you've got seven kids, you're driving back and forth, you're really putting out for the Lord. You know what? As the years have passed and I've studied that book, it's let me divide why I do and the reasons I do it, and to separate them from the flesh, and to separate body, soul, and spirit. What if I hadn't gone over there tonight? Would it have affected the Shipleys? Would they have thought I wasn't a good pastor? You say, why did you go? Because I love the Shipleys. I want them to know I care for their father, their grandfather, and her husband. I want them to know that. A pastor has to learn why he does what he does and really get to understand the purpose for it before he's ever any good to the Lord. But you've got to learn to be honest with yourself. A lot of people learn to be honest. Don't learn to be honest with yourself. That's what you're going to be judged for. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with which we have to do. God knows me backwards, forwards, and sideways. Now the question is, how much of myself do I know backwards, forwards, and sideways? About as much as I'm willing to let this Word of God penetrate into my heart, examine myself. The Bible says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. How much of the mind of Jesus Christ do I have? About as much as I want, because he'll give me all I can take. And why do I come to church? And why do I pastor you? And why am I in this work? And what's the purpose in my life? God can let you see what you are and understand what you do. And I'm a hypocrite in many ways. Do you know there's some of you sitting here that probably never realized that you're a hypocrite? I certainly didn't. And then when I began to work and serve the Lord, and I began to be responsible for what God had assigned me to do, and God began to lead me in his word to preach all these messages to you, who do you think got the greatest benefit out of it? You or me? Me. Because it taught me that I'm a hypocrite. It taught me that I'll stretch the truth to my own advantage. It taught me that I was interested in what you thought of me in the flesh. It taught me that I wanted to be praised, to be liked, to be admired, to be respected. You say, well, shame on you, Brother Michael Murray. Listen, all of you are the same way. Don't treat me like I'm the Lone Ranger. If you're not that way, you haven't learned it yet because you haven't studied enough of the Word of God. You haven't let it penetrate in your own heart. Seeing then we have a great high priest. We're now going to take a look at verse 14. Okay, God can just split us open and look at us and tell everything about us. But he put his book down here, his word, like a mirror, so we could look in it. And we could see the same things that he sees. And one day, we're going to be known in heaven as we were known by God while we were here. Seeing then we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us, here's something you can do. Yeah, I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, I stretch the truth to my advantage. Yeah, I follow the flesh sometimes. Yeah, I want to be loved. I want to be respected. I want to be admired. I want all those things. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that's terrible. No, that's honest. And I know that's wrong. I understand that. And I daily ask God to forgive me for my attitude, for my hypocritical nature, for all the things, the flesh, that lead me and sometimes I follow. And God forgives me. Let us. I can't live above sin. I've been honest and open with God. He knows I can't love him with all my mind, all my might, all my heart, and all my soul, and my neighbor as myself. I'm in a body of flesh. I can't do it. But I can try. And when I fail, I can confess my sin. But here's something I can do. This is what you're going to be judged for, and I'm going to be judged for more than anything else. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. I hope you don't think that means that you'll always believe in Jesus. Well, that's part of it. I hope you don't think this means that when someone walks to you up on the street and say, are you a child of God? That you'll be ashamed and say, I want to profess to you that I am a child of God. It means part of that. But what it's talking about is continuing in the faith that comes out of your profession. How do you hold fast your profession? How fast are you holding it if you're not interested in your baptism? How fast are you holding to it if your baptism and doing it correctly, the way God said, directed, and it doesn't mean anything to you? You're not holding fast to the profession of faith you made in Christ Jesus. Oh, you won't go to hell. But you can do this. You can get saved. You can get scripturally baptized. You can be faithful in church. You can give in the church. You can work in the church. You can sing in the church. You two have had it now. Because from now on, we're going to be on you like a duck on a June bug. And I want to see you all sing, Danny. Because that's the way you can serve God. And it means something to God. God didn't put you here for no reason. You've got talents. You've got an ability to serve God. You've got an ability to give. You've got an ability to pray. Let us hold fast our profession. We can do that. And the question is, will we do it? 1 Corinthians 5:9. Wherefore we labor. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the labor that we do in the church after we're saved. It's what we're going to be judged for at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to hell. All believers will be judged here. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. The word that is used for accepted here, I bow before God, stand before man, knowing I must answer at the judgment seat of Christ. And I tell you, this word actually, truthfully, plainly, straightforwardly, in the language in which it was written, means well-pleasing to him. It means that your labor, your service, was well-pleasing to him. Doesn't mean he's going to cast you out and throw you to hell. And then he gives you a warning. For we, members of the church at Corinth, must, and himself, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. A part of what you do is not just what you do, but why you do it. I knew a young man, a missionary Baptist pastor, that preached the truth. He preached salvation by grace. He preached security of the believer. He preached baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church. The Lord's Supper is a closed door into the church. The church is local and visible. And he was lost. And he got saved. Was what he did right? I mean, did he preach the truth? Yes. Did people get saved? Yes, because preachers don't save people. The Word does. But he had the wrong motive. He liked the pay. He liked the attention. He liked the recognition. And finally, when he was preaching this word, one day he got convicted at a revival. And he got saved. And when he got saved and he began to examine his motives, he realized he was wrong. He'd been preaching the truth, but he'd been doing it for the wrong reason. You're going to be judged for why you did something. Did I answer the call to the ministry? Or did I see this as a good way to make a living when I got out of the military? Did I decide that I'd like a nice, soft, easy job of just having to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and draw a paycheck, and could just live the life of luxury on my retirement? Was that my motive? I had to ask myself that quite a bit. But it wasn't my motive. Because as I've studied the Word of God, I know why. God convicted me, and God called me. Did I have to learn to do what I do here for the right reason? Yes. When I came here, God knows, I was preaching and teaching the truth. But I never had really let God's Word slice me open and make me see myself as I really am. And I thank God from the depths of my soul for that. I didn't know what a rotten, degenerate bum I was. I didn't know what an unworthy servant I was. I had no idea, no concept. But I do now. And I'm still learning. That's the joy of studying the Word of God. It splits you open. It divides you up. And finally, when you see yourself as what you really are, it makes you praise God from the depths of your very soul. Because it seems so impossible to you that God could love such a confused, mixed-up creature. I think you're special, pointed that out. And that's what the Word of God is to be to Christians, to people who are already saved. It's something that makes you examine yourself. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You're going to have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ just like I do, not for whether you did everything right, and you'll be judged for that, but you'll also be judged for whether you did it for the right reason. But knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men, and we are made manifest unto God. How are you made manifest unto God? Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with which we have to do. God knows why you're here tonight. God knows why you work in the church. God knows why you give to the church. God knows you backwards, forwards, and sideways. You need to get to know yourself. That's the only way you can ever learn to do what you do for the right reason for God. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture, Colossians 3:23-25. Is salvation by grace? Yes. Do I preach that? Yes. That's good. That's lawful. Is securing the believer truth? Yes. Is that good? Is it lawful? Is it right? Yes. Is your coming to church right? Should you be here? Yes. Should you give? Yes, that's all right. Should you have been baptized by immersion by the authority of the church? Yes, you should have. But now here you are, and here I am, and we get down to the nitty-gritty. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That word heartily, as you've heard me say many times, is ekpasike. It means from the soul. That's the actual meaning of the word that's used there, pasike. He said, whatever you do, whether you preach, whether you sing, whether you give, whether you clean the church, whether you mow the lawn, whether you pray, whether you work in the church, whether you keep up the bulletin board, whether you teach a Sunday school class, whatever you do, do it from a saved soul. Do it to the Lord, as to the Lord. You know, as a pastor, nothing thrills me more after a person is saved than when they actually begin to do what they do for the Lord. Then I don't have to prod them. Then I don't have to plead with them. Then I don't have to baby them. Then I don't have to mollycoddle them. Then I don't have to treat them with kid gloves, because they're going to do what they do because they do it for the Lord and not because someone has to stay on them all the time. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily from the saved soul. It's not unto the Lord. As to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing. A lot of people never get to know this. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. This is the reward of the inheritance. That's what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Tonight, we heard a beautiful special. I think it came from their saved soul. I think they wanted to sing praises to God. I really believe that. I think when Danny and Lisa get up there, they do the same thing. I hope that Ashley and I do. I hope that when I'm doing this tonight, preaching to you, I hope I'm doing it for the Lord and realizing that the Lord's going to give me a reward if I preach it correctly, if I don't mislead you, and if I do it for Him, if I serve Him and not you. I think a pastor that fails to learn to serve the Lord is not serving the people of the church properly. I believe unless a man learns to do what he does for the Lord, he's not really serving the people of the church. He's doing them a disservice. The full counsel of God and the truth about life and about God's purpose in your life must be proclaimed to you before you have any opportunity or chance to understand it. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the reward which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I got another whole sheet here. But the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And it's 5 minutes till seven. I think this is a pretty big basket full. I think that what I've just talked about is the most important thing in my life. Holding fast to the profession I made in Christ. Doing what the Bible says the way God said to do it. And doing it for Him. I think that's a very important lesson to learn. From the day I was born, God knew exactly what I was like. He was able to separate between my body, soul, and spirit, even though they were depraved. And now God lives in me. And His word He takes and slices me up and puts me out on a butcher counter and says, now, Tom, take a look at this. What do you think of yourself, Tom? You know what my answer to God is? Not much. But Lord, I sure do think a lot of you. I think that's what the Word of God does. When we analyze ourselves through the Word of God and we see what we really are, I know I've used this illustration many times. Forgive me for using it again, but it's the only time I ever saw this happen in life. And it was probably the highlight of everything I ever learned in the seminary at Little Rock. Imogene, you remember big old Brother Lowry. He was a kind, wonderful man. Great, huge hands. And he taught Sunday school administration, one of the most boring, dull subjects in the seminary. Had a wonderful wife. I never will forget what happened in class one day. Brother Lowry was very eloquent in his speaking, very flowery. And he could just lull you to sleep easily. And half the time he did in class. Well, he had just gone through a long, long dissertation. And he had waxed eloquent. Oh, he had taken the scripture. I mean, he had just, oh, it was just like you were floating on a cloud in heaven. And all of a sudden he stopped. The class was stunned. Those of us that were awake. And those that weren't woke up. And he strolled over to the window. And he put his hands behind his back. And he just stood looking out in the parking lot. I don't know how long he stood there. It seemed forever. But we didn't know in the class what was wrong. We thought maybe he was having some kind of a heart attack or something. Finally, he turned around to us. And I thank God for what he said. He had tears going down his cheeks. He said, fellas, he said, forgive me. He said, I've been standing up here expounding to you the Word of God and telling you how wonderful heaven is and expounding all these great promises of God. He said, fellas, if you knew what went through my mind in a single day about you and other people I come in contact with in my life, he said, I'd have to go out and hide in a cave. I think when you get to that point in life, it makes you so grateful to God that you live in a state of repentance and thanksgiving that he saved you from what you are by birth and nature. And I think the greatest joy in life comes after salvation when you begin to be sliced open and you really see what makes you tick. And you discover we're all in the same boat and we all had to have the same Savior. I thank God that he led Brother Lowry to say that because it helped me tremendously. And it's also helped me to understand a lot of things in God's Word that I had a lot of trouble with until then. Brother Charles Trustee, would you...